Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Akhbayi. The UN is an international organization whose stated aims are security, economic development, human rights, and the achievement of world peace. Yet, there have been many calls for its reform, with many questioning whether the UN is even relevant in the 21st century. That's what we will concentrate in this edition of the Press TV News Analysis, and whether the permanent members of the Security Council themselves have prevented the UN from fully carrying out their responsibilities.
Let us carry on this journey together.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon formally opened the 66th session of the General Assembly on Tuesday. In a week-long activity, the world leaders will be focusing on hosts of issues. Some leaders are expected to raise the issue of the UN restructuring, including its veto-wielding Security Council. The question of the veto held by the five permanent members, as well as regional representation, have been widely debated in recent years. The Council has been accused of failing to bring peace to the world. Its five permanent members enjoy the veto power, which means they can say no against the will of the entire international community. The U.S., for instance, has used its veto more than 30 times since 1980s to reject resolutions criticizing Israel over the Middle East conflict. On the other hand, in the past decade, the U.S., Britain and France have used the UN Security Council, whose aim is to create peace, to wage wars and occupy other nations such as Afghanistan, Iraq and Libya. Former Chilean ambassador to the UN has revealed details of how Washington bullied and threatened other countries to support the Iraq war. In his book, Geraldo Munoz mentions Washington's pre-war efforts to coerce allies into supporting the invasion. The UN remained a mute spectator, not only to the deaths, but to the wide range of detentions and tortures at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib, as well as dozens of other CIA-run secret cells. The role of the UN will be fading further if the Security Council continues to remain a tool in the hands of few nations. In order to restore the centrality of the UN, developing countries have been calling for a balance between the world body's principal organs.
And that's exactly what we're going to find out if the UN is a tool at the hands of a few nations. Let me introduce our guests. We have American journalist Abayomi Ezekwe, who joins us from Detroit. We have author and political analyst Saab Shaath joining us from Belfast, and host of the Current Issues TV and radio, Hisham Talawi, who joins us via Skype from Louisiana. Saab Shaath, let me go first to you. The main objective of the United Nations at its founding was to prevent future wars and suffering on a mass scale. Now, you have mass knowledge on this, so tell us, millions have died in hundreds of conflicts around the world in more than the 50 years since its establishment. How do you view the UN in this regard?
I see the UN as a global body which is designed by the winners of the Second World War, according to the Bretton Woods Agreement. And those winners, they furthered their goals by the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, when George Bush Sr., he declared he have now can start the New World Order. Those guys, actually, they have a fallen cadre and members in the United Nations as a general assembly. And then they have the five members, which are the five powers with veto. Those people agreed among themselves they are not going to fight anymore, like because they caused the First World War and the Second World War and inflicted carnage worldwide. So they agreed to use and divide the resources globally between them without conflict. And law in here is applied only to the members of the General Assembly, not to the Security Council members, who are free to loot and to invade and to change the structure of any state, any worldwide. That is the basic understanding among the great powers. And especially in here, we can notice the United States of America, which is have more might, have more, more slice of the cake in here. If we see the United Nations itself, what is before and now, I'll start from 1948 when the League of Nations decided the partition of Palestine. And they said, which is, I want to refer to what Obama said, Palestinian state cannot be won through the United Nations, but through negotiation between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Then they without referring to the Palestinians, who were their land occupied by the imperial power, England, they left the Palestinians without negotiating with the Israelis or with the Jews about the other half of Palestine. Mm. And the same sort of logic is applied to them. When any United Nations resolution suits them, they enforce it, like in Libya or in Iraq or anything. On Palestine, there is 65 resolutions. Nobody interested in imposing at all. Why? Because it doesn't serve the imperialist agenda of the Security Council, right, which is under control of the United States of America.
Right.
So the United Nations
let's discuss how this power is, in a certain respect, I don't want to use the word abused, but used to the advantage of these five permanent members of the UN Security Council. And I'd like to refer to what was in that report, Abu Yome Azikiwi. This was the Chilean ambassador to the UN, Geraldo Munoz, his book, A Solitary War, A Diplomat's Chronicle of the Iraq War and Its Lessons. And he said on the wars, the 2003 Iraq War, that U.S. President George W. Bush threatened nations with retaliation if they did not vote for a U.N. resolution backing the Iraq War. I mean, how do you explain the role of the U.S. there, a veto-wielding member, in this manner?
Yes, I think the United Nations is a tool, oftentimes, for the foreign policy of several countries, including the United States and also the Western European countries. And in that regard, it really hasn't changed a lot since its formation back in 1945 at the conclusion of World War II. At that time, the world was quite different from what it is today. Many of the countries in Africa and Asia and the Middle East were still under European colonialism. And of course, today we have over 190 countries that constitute the United Nations General Assembly. But unfortunately, most of the power is wielded by the Security Council and by the permanent members within the Security Council. And we've seen this repeated over and over again since 1945. We can make reference to the Korean War between 1950 and 1953 that resulted in the deaths of over 4 million Koreans. And all of this was done under the banner of the United Nations. We can look at the debacle that took place in Congo in 1960 and 1961, where efforts to win national liberation was actually subverted by the former colonial powers, by the United States. This was done, of course, as well under the banner of the United Nations. We could also look at the sanctions that were imposed against Iraq. We don't even have to talk about the Iraq War itself beginning in 2003. But 12 years prior to that, there were draconian sanctions that were imposed on Iraq that resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. They denied medical equipment, medicines, all types of technical assistance was blocked, largely at the aegis of the United States, utilizing the United Nations. And of course, Libya today, where a United Nations resolution 1970 and 1973 were utilized in effort to carry out a massive bombing campaign against that country that's resulted in the deaths of thousands of people, that today is still that country divided between forces that are loyal to leader Muammar Gaddafi and other forces that are more aligned with the West through the National Transition Council and other entities. So this is a major problem. Well, as far as the United Nations legitimacy is concerned.
Right. And in terms of the function of the United Nations, Hisham Talawi, it's supposed to prevent wars. I mean, that's one of their mandates. But, I mean, let's look at, and we don't want to keep coming on the United States, but obviously it's one of the permanent members. On last count, they're involved in five wars, if we don't count the war in Libya, which is drawing apparently to a close, yet to be seen. I mean, why and how can these nations, in this case the United States, as an example, impose these acts of aggression when other veto-wielding members like Russia and China, well, they actually are against it?
Well, thank you, Kevin, for having me here today. The United Nations, as both my colleagues have stated, it was born out of from the victors of after World War II. And those victors, even though the World War II, the Second World War, was fought in Europe, but those who won that war actually thought they are in control of the whole world, and definitely they are still in control of the whole world. You said that the United Nations' purpose was to prevent wars, but as a matter of fact, the United Nations' purpose has been to be used as a cover-up for wars that those in power, especially the United States, and when we say the United States, let's make sure that we clarify who is in control of United States foreign policies. The United States has been engaged in wars, mainly in the Middle East, to basically provide service for another country. And that brings into question the veto power that the permanent members have. Can it also be used when the security, the national security of the interest of that country is not jeopardized and is not serving the national security of that country, but actually it's serving the national security of another country? You know, this brings in actually what the United States is about to do in the Security Council for what the Palestinians are asking for the bid for state recognition. What we are going to see is the end of the United Nations, because the United Nations, everyone in the world knows, it does not have credibility because it has been used by the United States. And you keep saying, you know, you said, let's not go back to the United States. Well, the United States is the one that is in control of the whole world. The United States is the one that is coercing other nations to vote with it. The United States is the one that is lying to the world that it had the world community with it. And every time that the United States wants to go and kill somebody, they will say, well, that's what the world community wanted because they had something in the United Nations.
Well, so let me come in here and ask you, Hisham Talawi. I apologize for breaking your train of thought. Let me come in here quickly, and I apologize for breaking your train of thought, because when you talk about the United States imposing wars, there's also another war that's really killing lives, and I want to talk about these drone strikes that are occurring in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Somalia. We've seen an increase now in Yemen. How is it that the UN is not reacting to these unmanned aerial drones that are obviously claiming civilian lives?
Well, because the UN will only react. I mean, the UN, after all, it's made up of these countries that are under the control of the United States. You know, after the fall of the Soviet Union, after the two camps, where we had only one camp now, everyone in the UN, every country in the UN is under the influence of the United States to a great degree, of course. You know, you have other countries who are still, if they're not under the influence, they are coerced to go along with what the United States wants, based on whatever reasons. It could be economic, it could be deals they are made with these big countries, with these, you know, so that is the thing that we need to concentrate on. Who is, we do not have United Nations, we have United States of America. That is in control of foreign policy for the whole world. And this must change. This must change. We cannot continue being under this, and the United States should not be allowed to have the United Nations as a cover-up for its crimes in the world.
Right. Saeb Shah, if we want to look at some of these countries, one of the key objectives of the UN, as I've stated, has been to save human lives and also to promote human rights. But yet, permanent members, they're not only violating these rights in their own countries, they're also supporting regimes like the ones in Bahrain, we could mention Yemen and Egypt, politically and militarily. Isn't there a double standard there and an inconsistency?
Yeah, definitely. Since the United Nations was established as Eurocentric global power control to serve the Western imperialist. At the end of the day, whatever you want to look at it, it's that what it served. As you mentioned, in Bahrain, I want to give you an example of what tools they are using. They're using the World Bank, they're using the Paris Club to lower countries into debts. They use aid. They use a lot of tools, even the when they changed the GATT agreement to the World Trade Agreement. And all of that to emphasize one thing. Any country want to do trade or to be part of the World Trade Agreement have to acknowledge and to recognize it's going to do trade with Israel, like what happened when the Saudi Arabia applied to the World Trade Organization. And from there, you can see their double standard. They use what they use now in Yemen and in Bahrain and Palestine, in the case when the Palestinian. They market something they call, they bring the values of freedom and democracy under the cover of globalization. And then when the Palestinian people go for election, under incubation actually, and they vote Hamas in, they punish the Palestinian people and they null all the votes of the Palestinian people to bring their representatives. Since the godfather of the world order, the United Nations, doesn't like Hamas because Hamas won't recognize Israel. Hamas doesn't serve the Zionist agenda. And from there, we can see the double standard. In Bahrain, the government of Bahrain serve as a bay, as the management for a military base for the United States of America. And that's why they have to guarantee that that will be there. And they want to guarantee and safeguard their interests in oil and to quash any resistance from the people anywhere. They've done that in Bahrain. They're doing it in Yemen. They're doing it everywhere. They've done that before in Latin America. If we've seen in the scenario of Nicaragua when they said democracy and the Sandinists were elected and then they crushed them. And then, so the double standards is there. Why? Because the global organization, the United Nations, is a tool of imperialist power. As I said, it's Eurocentric. It's designed to safeguard the interest of the Western powers who won the Second World War. And they were fighting among each other before in the Second War, the First World War. Well, and they adhere. If you want to look at even Wood Wilson, when he proposed self-determination for nations, when the Arabs in 1916, 1917 tried to ask about that, they looked down at them in a racist way because that self-determination is only designed to Europe, to the Eurocentrics,
right,
to the white man.
Okay, so Abshatha, Israel has been thrown around. Abiyomi Azikiwe, let's talk about Israel. Many question, first of all, why there are essentially no consequences for violating a Security Council resolution. In case of point is Israel. They have defied countless UN resolutions, over 100 of them. Tell us the consequences of that. I mean, hasn't it made the UN lose its relevance and credibility?
I believe that many people in the so-called developing countries do not have any real faith in the United Nations. If we go back to World War I with the Balfour Declaration, which was issued in 1917, that ostensibly provided a framework for the creation of both a Arab as well as a Jewish state in Palestine, this has been totally violated over the last 90 years. At the conclusion of World War II, when the State of Israel was formed, it was done in a manner in which it was totally obnoxious in regard to the will of the Arab people in the region. And many other countries throughout the world did not agree with the creation of the State of Israel. And even today, we have the United States as well as other Western countries that have urged the Palestinians not to make a bid for statehood. Even today, President Obama's speech before the General Assembly provided a rationale as to why the Palestinians should not be making a request to become a full-fledged state. I mean, how long will the Palestinians have to wait in order to be recognized as equal partners in the international community? It's been 63 years since the creation of the State of Israel, since the driving of millions of Palestinians into exile, and these issues are really not even taken seriously within the United States body politics. And you also mentioned, I think it's very significant, the human rights violations that takes place inside the Western industrialized countries. For example, in the United States, We have 2.5 million people who are incarcerated in prisons, and they're disproportionately African Americans and Latinos and poor people. Right now, today, Troy Davis in the state of Georgia is going to be executed, and he's in all likelihood innocent. Seven of the people who testified against him in court have recanted their testimony. The prison system denied him the right today to take a lie detector test, but this is not even brought up before any international body such as the United Nations to bring the United States government to account.
Well, how can it be brought up? How can it be brought up if they have this veto power? I'm sorry to jump in. Because of lack of time, I'd like to bring in Hisham Talawi. I mean, a major criticism of the Security Council involves this veto power, in which a veto can halt any possible action that the Council may take, even if it's one nation rather than the opinions of a majority of nations. And of course, we talked about the case of Palestine. That's one example. What can be done about this veto power? Anything? I mean, that's one of the criticisms.
Well, if I might, of course, I mean, the veto power, the only thing that can be done is to review the whole thing. And as a matter of fact, in my opinion, the United Nations has proven to be an idle organization, an organization that is obsolete, that is rendered obsolete, and we should be looking for a different type of organization to hold this world. An organization that is composed of all people in this world, all governments in this world, and no one nation should have the upper hand over the others.
Do you think that's a feasible solution? Do you think that's a possibility? Do you think that's a possibility? Can that be done, in your opinion?
Well, it cannot be done now, but I think the idea should be talked about, and other organizations should be popping up in the world to organize all these different countries that have the same opinion, because the majority of countries in the world do look at the veto power the same way we are looking at it right now. So it should be a way, if these laws are not revised, then they should just leave the United Nations and go somewhere else. But if I can have just a moment to talk about what you asked about Israel, you know, Israel was established back in 1948 as an illegal, even though it was voted on in the United Nations. But that resolution in the United Nations has violated the same rules that the United Nations is trying to uphold against other countries. You know, the Israel is a colonial power. Israel is a foreign power that was given a land that did not belong to it back in 1948. So according to the rules of the same UN that we are talking about now, they violated their own rules when they voted Israel in. Israel until now does not have borders. You know, people saying, where are the borders of the state of Palestine? Well, the state of Palestine is saying where the borders are, the 1967 borders. But Israel, until now, does not have borders. Israel was an illegal force that was brought in into a, it was a foreign force, was brought in into a country that did not belong to them. So Israel, as it stands today, is an illegal country. But does the United Nations have the power now to go back and do what the mistake that it had done before? No, it does not. And therefore, since the United Nations does not have the power to stop these imperialist powers from controlling the world and from killing people wherever they want and protecting Israel and being a cover for the Zionists, I think the United Nations days are over with. We should have another organization that's going to look at the world. After all, the world looks totally different than what it did back in 1945. The countries, like one of my colleagues said, most of these countries were not even countries back in 1945. It is time not just to revise the UN. I think just like they have done with the League of Nations before, I think the United Nations should be something of the past and a new organization structured according to the countries, taken into consideration all the countries that are existing in the world, and we should have another organization totally. Is this realistic? Of course not. Not now, but it should be in the future.
Host of Current Issues TV and Radio, that's Hisham Talawi. Thank you very much for your statements. We also had American journalist Abiyomi Azikiwe from Detroit with his statements, author and political analyst Saeb Shah, thank you. He gave us his statements from Belfast. The Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad will be speaking at the UN, and he has been criticized the UN for its policies. Do check that out on Press TV. But that brings us to an end for this edition of the News Analysis. Any questions you may have, newsroom@presstv.ir. Do send it there. From Mikhail Vatakwin and the entire team, it's goodbye.